Today's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 to 9 and 18 to 23. Starting at verse 1, on that day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat down, while the whole crowd stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "Consider the sower who went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky ground, where there wasn't much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since the soil wasn't deep. But then, when the sun came up, they were scorched, since they had no root, and they withered. Others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them. Still others fell on good ground and produced a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Anyone who has ears should listen." And then we jump to verse 18. "You then listen to this parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path. And the one sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, and it is short-lived. When pressure or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, the one sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but then worries about his age and the seduction of wealth, and they choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sown on the good ground, this is the one who hears and understands the word, who does bear fruit and yields, some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Hello, I'm Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries, and I'm here with our message this week. I'm happy you could take a few minutes out of your busy week to be with us today. What's the most difficult part of ministry? Is it preparing sermons? Is it getting people to do the right thing? Is it managing the budget? Is it visiting sick people? Is it maintaining harmony among the people of the congregation? No. These are all challenges and significant challenges, but they are not the most difficult part of ministry. The most difficult part of ministry is staying motivated when nothing seems to be happening. Now, some years ago, the Wall Street Journal carried an article about the Reverend Philip A.C. Clark of the Park Avenue Methodist Church in New York City. Phil had retired, and after 43 years in the same congregation, he went there straight out of seminary and stayed there for 43 years. Now, can you imagine that? Uncommon anywhere and unheard of in the Methodist Church. But that's not the story here. There really is a connection with this text. Over the years, the man's story was pieced together in the story of Phil's early years at Park Avenue Methodist Church. When he first went there, the church was on the brink of closing. They had only a handful of members. They would have had only a dozen people at their worship service. The building was large and needed repair. They had no money, and that was the picture for 10 years. Can you imagine? 10 long, discouraging years. Then slowly, the congregation began to grow. It was difficult because the church is located on the Upper East Side, where a third of the people leave the neighborhood every year, but they would gain a few more, and they would lose a few for the year. And the next year, they would gain a few more, and so on. Just 20 years earlier, they would have had 150 or more for worship. This was wonderful, caring congregation. The building was renovated fully, and the congregation gave generously to mission and benevolent causes. One of the members said that during those early years, Phil had the opportunity to go to another, more prosperous churches, but he would always ask to stay. He had the idea that if he could turn the congregation around, it would be the most important thing that he could do with his life. And he did it. Phil and the Lord turned it around. They built it up. They made it into a significant, vital congregation that touched the lives of thousands of people over many years. Now, how did Phil keep going during the first 10 years? How did he maintain the enthusiasm when nothing seemed to be happening? How did he resist the temptation to leave Park Avenue for greener pastures during the first years of his life there when most people are moving upward and onward? The key was his vision. Phil was able to look at the tiny congregation meeting in that big old rundown building and see possibilities. He was also willing to give his life to make these possibilities happen. He did that. He gave his life to make those possibilities happen. But first, he had to see the possibilities, and see them he did. When he looked at the dozen people gathered for worship, he saw the New York City equivalent of seed corn. He could imagine those people taking root and multiplying and spreading and growing. He could imagine them becoming a dynamic presence for Christ, a spiritual oasis that in the very secular setting on 86th Street. He could imagine a harvest of 30-fold, of 60-fold, and 100-fold. It would take many years for this to happen. It wouldn't begin to happen for the first 10 years of his ministry, but he saw it, and the vision sustained him. The vision made it possible. Now, in our text today, Jesus was speaking to disciples who had reason to be discouraged. The religious establishment opposed Jesus. Even his mother and brothers had failed to understand him. And in some ways, Jesus seemed to be going nowhere. But in the midst of the controversy, crowds followed him, and as he healed many people, and it was in this context, the discouraging and encouraging context, that Jesus told this parable, the parable of the sower. The parable tells about seed falling on various kinds of bad ground, the pathway, the rocky ground, the thorny ground. When Matthew wrote this gospel, the situation had gotten even worse. Christians were subject to persecution. Some were falling away. Others were being imprisoned or killed. It was a difficult time to be a Christian. When Matthew related this parable, he knew the discouragement of these persecuted Christians. By recording this parable, he was passing along the encouragement that Jesus had given to the original disciples. Jesus was saying, it might seem like the good news is falling on the pathway or the rocky ground or among thorns. It might seem that nothing's happening, but it is. Part of the seed has fallen on good soil. You can't see the results yet, but trust me, things are happening. The seed is lying there, getting ready to germinate. When the results come, they'll knock your socks off. You will reap 30-fold, 60-fold, or even 100-fold. Now, to our ears, that sounds about right. A farmer sows a pound of seed and reaps 100 pounds of grain. That's the whole idea, right? Now, would it be that it was only that simple? In Jesus' day, a typical harvest would have seen 7-fold to 10-fold. A farmer could get rich on 15-fold. 30-fold was nearly imaginable. So just imagine 100-fold. Getting a return of 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold would have been like, well, starting an IPO today and being worth more than Google tomorrow. It would be amazing. It would be fantastic and even stupendous. So Jesus was saying to the disciples who might become discouraged at the opposition, don't worry. Yes, you will see people reject the good news. Yes, you will have days and weeks and years when nothing seems to be happening. Yes, you will experience opposition, even persecution. But no, that is not the whole picture. And keep your eyes open, because you're about to see an eye-popping harvest. It won't be 7-fold or 10-fold or even 15-fold. The seed that is lying just under the good soil is getting ready to explode. The harvest will be 30-fold or 60-fold or even 100-fold. The disciples of that day needed to hear that, and we need to hear it too. It's all too easy to get discouraged when doing Christ's work. We will get discouraged because the church seems so marginal. The headlines all go to Amazon or Hollywood, and the church doesn't inspire many headlines these days. We get discouraged because Christ's work goes so slowly. We tell people about Christ, but nothing happens. We pray for our children, and they continue to act like little heathens. We invite our husband or our wife to church, and they sit at home with the comic strips. We get discouraged because some of the Christians with whom we have to work with are enough to make us wish for a good heathen. We get discouraged because there is never enough money. We think of the kingdom work that we could do if we just had a little more money. If God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, why can't he sell just a few and fix the church roof? And then there are church boards and bishops and denominational headquarters, but I won't even go there. But Jesus says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about any of that. Just keep on keeping on. Just continue to plant and cultivate and water. And just continue to believe. Just continue to proclaim. The harvest is coming, and it'll be a surprise. So get ready, because it's going to be a barn buster. And that's the good news. It's good news for wives who are praying for their husbands. It's good news of Jesus' word of encouragement that says never give up, because there's a harvest coming, and it's going to be a surprise. Keep praying. It's good news for parents who pray for their children. It is the news that there is a ferment going on in the child's heart. A word of God is lying there just waiting for a chance to bust things open. It's good news for people who serve on the church boards, people who carry on lonely struggle to keep the church alive and moving. It is Christ's promise that is all worthwhile. It's good news for little churches where nothing seems to be happening. It is Christ's promise that a great day is coming. It's good news for big churches where everything seems to be happening. It's Christ's promise that you ain't seen nothing yet. It's good news for denominations that are having a tough time recruiting clergy, or Sunday school teachers, or board members, or youth leaders. It is Christ's promise that the day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Christ is Lord. It's good news for those of us who get discouraged because when we watch the news, it's Christ's promise that terrorists and serial killers and other evils will fill our living rooms every evening, that they will be forgotten in the great harvest that is to come. It's good news for all of us who love the Lord. It's his promise that our labors in his behalf are never in vain. So today, we hear the parable of the sower. Let's not worry too much about the seed that falls on the pathway, or among the rocks, or among the thorns. Yes, when we proclaim the word of God, some will be lost. But that's only a footnote in the greater truth, which is that God will see to the increase. Let us not be discouraged by the little that is lost. Rather, let us be encouraged by the great harvest that Christ has promised. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope you got a blessing out of it. Go out this week, be a blessing and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for watching and listening. We'll see you all next week.